صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, we continue with تفسير سورة البقرة with the virtuous book or تفسير of Sheikh عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمة الله عليه. And verse 228 reads, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء ولا يحل لهن أن يكتمن ما خلق الله في أرحامهن إن كن يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر وبعولتهن أحق بردهن في ذلك إن أرادوا إصلاحا ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وللرجال عليهن درجة والله عزيز Season Hakim. Abdul Aziz or someone else, please.
And divorced women shall wait regards their marriages for 3 menstrual periods, and it is not lawful for them to conceal what Allah created in their wombs if they believe in Allah on the last day. And their husbands have the best bed right to take them back in that period if they wish to revolt for reconciliation. In day, women comprise over their husbands as regards living expenses, similar to those of their husbands, but then as regards obedience and respect to what is honorable, but men have a degree of responsibility over them.
بارك الله فيك. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى, أي النساء اللاتي طلقهن أزواجهن يتربصن بأنفسهن, أي ينتظرن ويعتددن مدة 3 قروء, أي حيض أو أطهار على اختلاف العلماء في المراد بذلك, مع أن الصحيح أن القرء الحيض. طيب, the women who have been divorced by their husbands are to remain waiting a period equal to 3 quru or qar. And the scholars have differed. Is qar a menstrual cycle, or is it the state of being pure after a menstrual cycle? Because the woman is either in her menstrual cycle, she's having her menstruation, or she's finished with that. So what does qur mean? There's a difference of opinion among the ulama. And actually, this is one of the examples used to explain that we said before in the qawa'id of tafsir that if the ayah or if the wording may accommodate more than one meaning, we do not limit that vast understanding of the Quran into one particular meaning when the terminology accommodates more than one. يعني more than one thing can be intended behind the speech. If the speech can accommodate all these meanings, then Allah described the Quran as Quranun Majid. Majid is vast, glorious, you know, in terms of content. So the ulama say in qawa'id al-tafsir, if one ayah can entertain a number of meanings, we accept all. We don't say no, it only means that, but it doesn't mean this. However, this is on the condition that the meanings do not oppose or contradict each other. In this particular one, this is one of the exceptions. We cannot say, well, qar can be either a menstruation or the lack of that. And we cannot say that the meaning accommodates both, because there's one thing which is intended. Now, going back to the linguists, and the Arabic language and what is intended by qar, is it the menstruation or the state after menstruation? We have 2 different opinions. We have to adopt one. And we cannot say that the meaning entertains both, because they are opposites. One says this is menstruation, another one says this is the state of purity after menstruation. Now the Shaykh will give us the preponderant opinion, wherein he says, ما أن الصحيح أن القرء الحيض, even though what is correct is that قرء is actually a menstrual cycle. So with that said, the women have to wait with their husbands for 3 menstrual cycles. And once the 3rd one comes in, then we have a number of rulings which are applicable, as the Shaykh will break down بإذن الله عز وجل. ولهذه العدة عدة حكم, منها العلم ببراءة الرحم إذا تكررت عليه ثلاثة الأقراء، علم أنه ليس في رحمها حمل فلا يفضي إلى اختلاط الأنساب. There are a number of wisdoms behind this waiting period which Allah had decreed. First, it is means of affirming that her womb is free from children. She's not pregnant. If she's had three menstrual cycles, you have beyond any shadow of doubt. We know that there's no child that she's bearing at that particular stage in her life. And so then this is means of protecting the mixing of family members. Yani, imagine that she was impregnated by her first husband who divorced her. A week later, she got married, right? Now forget about, you know, of course Islam was applicable back then. There was no hospitals, no one to identify whether there's a baby in there or not. There were no, you know, that...
DNA.
Right, DNA. And there's even another one, you know, when they see the baby.
Ultrasound.
None of that stuff. So then, if her new husband had relations with his wife, and I mean, a week is not really a big difference, right? He may think this is his child, even though it is not his child. It is the other man's child. Eventually, these families will mix, even though he's not really related to the father in this sense, and a number of violations may take place in the future by, you know, brothers and sisters marrying each other or things of this nature. So this is from the wisdom of Allah that there's this waiting period in order to, you know, affirm and guarantee that the lady is not pregnant. ولهذا أوجب تعالى عليهن الإخبار عن ما خلق الله في أرحامهن. Consequently, Allah had made it obligatory upon the women to inform that which they may be concealing in their bellies. So if they have something in their wombs which they know that they're pregnant, they may be feeling something, you know, women feel nauseous in the first early stages, they may you know, puke, vomit a number of times. There are certain symptoms for pregnancy, before even the pregnancy test is taken, a woman may know that she's pregnant, right? So in this case, they are expected, in case they're pregnant, to say, hey, I'm pregnant. Maybe she wants to get rid of the husband or something along these lines. So she doesn't tell him. Says, okay, I'll just keep the baby a secret to myself. But Allah made it obligatory on them to say, in the case that the husband divorces his wife and she's pregnant, she must tell him, I'm pregnant. Because some rulings will apply. Are we on the same page? I'm not on my own. Beautiful. لأن كتمان ذلك يفضي إلى مفاسد كثيرة. فكتمان الحمل موجب أن تلحقه بغير من هو له رغبة فيه أو استعجالا لانقضاء العدة. Because if she is pregnant, when does her عدة end? There you go. So the Shaykh was saying, because some women, if she tries to conceal that, there are a number of harmful consequences. For instance, she may want to attribute that son to someone else, so she doesn't say that she's pregnant, so she can get pregnant to the next man right away. Or because she wants her iddah to be over already, and she knew that if she told him she was pregnant, then that would elongate her iddah, and she doesn't want that, she wants to be out. So them lying will you know, entail major harmful consequences. فإذا ألحقته بغير أبيه حصل من قطع الرحم والإرث واحتجاب محارمه وأقارب عنه. So if she attributes this child to other than his father, his real father, then they will be breaking the kinship ties. Number one, and inheritance, and him, you know, being avoided from those who are lawful to him, even though they're lawful, and relatives of his. وَرُبَّمَا تَزَوَّجَ ذَوَاتِ مَحَارِمِهِ وَحَصَلَ فِي مُقَابَلَةِ ذَلِكَ الْحَقِّ بِغَيْرِ أَبِيهِ. And perhaps he will marry women who are related to him. A relation which does not allow marriage. Because there are some relatives which you may marry. But we're speaking about those which you're not allowed to marry. And that is all a consequence if he is attributed to other than his father. وَثُبُوتِ تَوَابِعْ ذَلِكَ مَنْ الْإِرْثِ مِنْهُ وَلَهُ. And also inheritance for him and against him. وَمَنْ جَعْلِ أَقَارِبِ الْمُلْحَقْ بِهِ أَقَارِبٌ لَهُ. And then this will make those whom he's referred to relatives to him. even though they're not his relatives. Yani his so-called father, which is the mother's second husband, this boy, whom they think is his, he will become, they will think he's a relative to his cousins and that, but he's not. So they will take off, they may take off, you know, some of his close family members will take off the hijab, and he is a stranger to them. You see what I'm saying? Amazing. طيب. وفي ذلك من الشر والفساد ما لا يعلمه إلا رب العباد. And in this there is evil and corruption, that which is not known except to the Lord of the slaves. ولو لم يكن في ذلك إلا إقامتها مع من نكاحها باطل في حقه وفيه الإصرار على الكبيرة العظيمة وهي الزنا لكفى بذلك شرا. And if there was the only thing there is that she will be living with someone whom she's not lawfully should be married to, because if she's still in her idda, if she's still pregnant, is she allowed to leave the first husband yet? No. If she hides the baby and she marries the second man, she's not lawful to him. Her relationship with him is what?
Zina.
It's fornication. Right? So these are all calamities. This is enough evil, the Shaykh said. That's why we don't take the deen of Allah lightly. Many people take these matters lightly. They say, oh, come on man, it's not a big deal. But I'm afraid this and I'm afraid that. And they are absent-minded about all of these evils which may result from ignoring Allah's commandments. وأما كتمان الحيض فإن استعجلت فأخبرت به وهي كاذبة ففيه من انقطاع حق الزوج عنها وإباحتها لغيره وما يتفرع عن ذلك من الشر كما ذكرنا. Similarly, if she conceals her menstrual cycle, she doesn't explain or break down when she had it and when, you know, she's not having it, then again she may lie. She may say, okay, you know, I'm having my cycle every 2 weeks. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me these days, right? So she may lie and also wind up leaving, you know, what is rightfully her husband's in the beginning. She's no longer under his authority, even though she's supposed to be. Furthermore, she becomes lawful to another one and she's not supposed to be lawful to him at that point yet. Again, this is a lot of evil as we had mentioned earlier, the Shaykh said. وإن كذبت وأخبرت بعدم وجود الحيض لتطول العدة فتأخذ منه نفقة غير واجبة عليه بل هي سحت عليها محرمة من جهتين. And if she lied and said that I'm not having a menstrual cycle, right? It's not coming. So, you know, time is going by, a month, 2 months, no cycle, my friend, you know, I don't know what's going on. Now he is expected to be what? Spending on her. So now she's taken money which is not lawful for her, because she should have been done with her idda and out of his life if he doesn't want to return her, right? So now she says, I'm not getting my cycle. She's getting haram money from her husband or her potential, well, her husband in the stage of you know, maybe, and so on and so forth. The Shaykh said this is haram for two reasons, or from two different angles. من كونها لا تستحقه, A, she doesn't deserve it. ومن كونها نسبته إلى حكم الشرع وهي كاذبة. Second, she's saying that this is legally mine, but she's lying. Because legally, her cycle is already over. She's had her 3 cycles, but she has been lying concerning that. So these are the two ways she's earning haram money. وربما رجعها بعد انقضاء العدة فيكون ذلك سفاحا لكونها أجنبية منه. And perhaps he will bring her back even though her idda is over. And it will become a form of, again, adultery or fornication, because she's a foreign to him now. She's a stranger. She's no longer his wife, under his care. فَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُنَّ أَن يَكْتِمْنَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَامِهِنَّ إِن كُنَّ يُؤْمِنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. It is not lawful for them to conceal that which Allah has created in their wombs if they indeed believe in Allah and the last day. فصدور الكتمان منهن دليل على عدم إيمانهن بالله واليوم الآخر. Them then after that, concealing what Allah has created in their wombs is an indication that they do not believe in Allah and the last day. وإلا فلو آمنا بالله واليوم الآخر وعرفنا أنهن مجزيات عن أعمالهن لم يصدر منهن شيء من ذلك. Because if they truly believed that they will be, if they believed in Allah on the last day, and they believed that they will be reckoned and recompensed for their deeds, then none of that would have ever been done by them. But they really don't have iman. Otherwise, how can you know that if you were to lie all of this evil, which will affect many people, not only the person, the children, the husband, the relatives. I mean, this is vast corruption. And the lady doesn't say anything, and she believes Allah will ask on the Day of Judgment. She doesn't believe, because if she believes, she won't be able to do it. Subhanallah. وفي ذلك دليل على قبول خبر المرأة عما تخبر بها عن نفسها من الأمر الذي لا يطلع عليه غيرها كالحمل والحيض ونحوهما. And in this there's an evidence that we accept the information that is conveyed to us by a woman concerning herself, concerning matters that are particular to her, that no one else can see, such as pregnancy and menstruation. Meaning her statement is acceptable. We don't have to say no. You know, a husband doesn't say, no, you must go to a doctor. And I want the doctor to check and say whether you have a cycle or not. Because the ayah says that this is on the woman. If she lies, this is between her and Allah. But if she was to give a statement, then we should accept the statement, of course, unless there are indications that she's lying. Right? You know, he goes to the bathroom and he finds, you know, a bat, you know, soaked with blood. And she's talking about, hey, I don't have a cycle. So, you know, I don't have anyone else living here but you. So where did this come from, right? Some indications. Otherwise, her statement should be taken, right? Because Allah made it a condition. Didn't refer to any people of expertise who will make a check, you know, check her up and say whether she's being honest or otherwise. Jameel. ثم قال تعالى وبعولتهن أحق بردهن في ذلك. And their husbands have more of a right to return them, meaning the wives back to them. أي لأزواجهن ما دامت متربصة في تلك العدة أن يردوهن إلى نكاحهن. Meaning the husbands have the right to bring their wives back into this marriage contract, so long as the woman is in that عدة, that waiting period. But there's a condition. إن أرادوا إصلاحا. If they mean or they intend to reconcile, they want to bring reconciliation between the man and the wife. Because sometimes it becomes what? Revenge. Huh? It turns into a game. Say, okay, he will make divorce her, put her in this difficult period, and then bring her back. Right? And then divorce her again, and make her go through the period, and then bring her back. He'd be playing with the lady, trying to make her suffer, because he has the right to bring her back, so she has no right, neither do her parents. The Prophet came and said, hey, you divorced my daughter, I don't want you to take her back, he doesn't have the right to do so. Her husband has the right to bring her back if he wants, though, to reconcile. This is why some of the ulama, and I wonder what the Sheikh will mention, that if he doesn't intend to reconcile, then he doesn't have the right to bring her back. So the condition is that he has to have the intention to, he really wants to be good with her. They want to fix the relationship. And that means of blackmailing, right? Which is what it may turn to one way or another. أي رغبة وألفة ومودة. رغبة وألفة ومودة. Meaning إصلاحها, being having hopes or the good intent, and having harmony and finding repose in one another. ومفهوم الآية أنهم إن لم يريدوا الإصلاح فليسوا بأحق بردهن فلا يحل لهم أن يراجعوهن لقصد المضارة لها وتطويل العدة عليها وهل يملك ذلك مع هذا القصد فيه قولان. The Sheikh said this why and the understanding of the ayah is if they do not intend to reconcile, then it is not permissible for them to take them back under their care, their husbands. They don't have the right to bring the wife back under their care. If they intend to be harmed, to cause harm, or to make her iddah, her waiting period, longer. But can he do so? Regardless, there are two opinions. الجمهور على أنه يملك ذلك مع التحريم. The جمهور, we said, the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that he may bring her back even though it's haram. What does that mean? Meaning, he divorced his wife, okay? And he wants to blackmail her. He wants to make her suffer and take revenge because she had done something to him. So he brings her back with the intention, not that he really wants his wife back, but he wants to make the iddah longer, make it go through 9 months, you know, 9 cycles, come back, out. come back, because they are three times before she becomes totally unlawful to him, right? Now, the majority of the ulama say, if he brings her back, she still goes back to being his wife, however, his action is haram. He'll be sinful, but it does not invalidate the marriage contract. Kapish? Namstan. طيب. والصحيح أنه إذا لم يرد الإصلاح لا يملك ذلك. But the Sheikh said the correct opinion is if he does not want to reconcile, he does not have the right to bring her back. And this is the opinion that you feel more inclined towards. Alhamdulillah. وهذه حكمة أخرى في هذا التربص. This is another wisdom behind this waiting period. وهي أنه ربما أن زوجها ندم على فراقه لها فجعلت له هذه المدة ليتروى في بها ويقطع نظره. This is another wisdom behind this waiting period, that perhaps a man will become regretful over divorcing his wife, and so this is the time for him to think and reconsider. Maybe I want to bring this lady back into my life. So this is the wisdom behind it. Otherwise, if it was arbitrary, like you're divorced and she's out of his life, people make the stupidest decisions when they're angry, right? The next day, he may wake up and say, hey, who is my wife? I'm alone in my bed. And come back. You can't bring her back, right? If there was no waiting period. But with the waiting period, he may divorce her. And he can no longer have sexual relations with her. If he has sexual relations with her, according to the ulama, she immediately goes back to being his wife. So she may adorn herself the next day. You know, look nice and pretty. Even though he's upset with her, you know, men, as soon as they see a few scenes, khalas, everything is, you know, gone with the wind. Ma fi mushkila, the fulus will work it out, and your parents, you will discuss it with them, and everything will be fine. Just, I need to talk to you on the side for a few minutes. This is, you know, that's what it is. So this is from the wisdom of Allah that, you know, the women and men remain in the same household, so another chance can be given, so, you know, we can, you know, take it easy. وهذا يدل على محبته تعالى للألفة بين الزوجين. Don't make me laugh, man. Sorry, that's enough. وكراهته للفراق. Now, in that is an indication that Allah loves reconciliation and you know, good relations between the people, and that Allah hates divorce or hates separation. But unfortunately, the Shaykh, may Allah have mercy on him. Wow. Again? Well, this is interesting. أبغض الحلال إلى الله الطلاق. Even though the Prophet ﷺ said the most hated lawful act to Allah is divorce. Now, shockingly enough to me, I had been under the impression that this narration is weak, because Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah had labeled this hadith as inauthentic. Now, you know, Shaykh al-Albani, before he passed away rahimahullah, he compiled a book where he went back on many of his rulings, narrations he had authenticated. He wind up discovering in the process of his studies that it's no longer authentic, so he took him back, like they call in the adhan in the right ear of the baby. And there were narrations which he had said that they were weak, however he found supporting chains and evidences which strengthened the narration, and that made it acceptable. So my last update was that the hadith is da'if. However, the Shaykh is mentioning here, أخرجه أبو داود وابن ماجة والحاكم من حديث محارب بن دثار عن ابن عمر قال الحافظ في التلخيص ورواه أبو داود والبيهقي مرسلا ليس فيه ابن عمر ورجح أبو حاتم والدارقطني في العلل والبيهقي المرسل وقد صحح إسناد المرسل الألباني في الإرواء. So Shaykh al-Albani, he said that authenticated that. Now, الإرواء, we have to go back to the works of Shaykh al-Albani. Is it in the later works or the earlier works? Because this is important. Is this hadith sahih or is it not sahih? So I delegate this mission to you brothers and to myself to make some research for next week inshallah, in an attempt to discover whatever research you can make online, Google or whatever. Is this hadith sahih? The last ruling of Shaykh al-Albani, is it authentic or inauthentic? If you're able to do so, barakallah feek. If you can't, ما في مشكلة. I will not grade you for this one. Grading is in school. خلاص. But this is interesting because hey, you know. Anyways, وهذا خاص في الطلاق الرجعي. وأما الطلاق البائن فليس البائن بحق برجعتها بل إن تراضيا على التراجع فلا بد من عقد جديد مجتمع الشروط. This is concerning the divorce which allows bringing the wife back, which we said is three times. However, الطلاق البائن where the woman becomes totally separated from this man, يعني after three divorces, she is no longer lawful to him unless she marries. No, we have two different things. If her iddah is over, and he doesn't bring her back, then for them to get married again, he doesn't have a right to return her. She has to agree, and they need to bring conditions again, and it's a marriage contract from scratch. Right? Let me go back again. This is important. Inshallah, everybody will remain married, but we need to know these rulings. A man divorces his wife. May Allah protect us. 3 months pass, 3 cycles. He doesn't bring her back. She is now unlawful to him. Number one. Number two, he doesn't have the right to bring her back. When did he have the right? Within the waiting period. Within the waiting period, if he wanted to bring her back, it's his right. And no one can interfere. If he wants reconciliation. If the 3 months are over, and he wants to bring her back, they need to have a new marriage contract. With the wali and everything. Because at that point, the waiting period was over, she is a stranger to him. Now, if they did this stunt 3 times, he divorced her, she came back. He divorced her, she came back. He divorced her, then she becomes so unlawful to him that if they ever decide to get married again, this can only happen if she marries another man and happens to divorce him, not with the intention to divorce him, happens to divorce him, then he may marry her back after she has been divorced by the second man. Without a pre-plan, as some people do, haram. Someone says, okay, my wife is totally unlawful for me. Imagine how sick that is. So he goes to his friend. Listen, man, I need you to do me... Yeah, man, people do this. I need you to do me a favor. My wife, I've divorced her 3 times. She's no longer unlawful. She's no longer lawful to me. Marry her. And the condition in that marriage is intercourse. He cannot just, you know, have a wedding and then, you know, at the first night he doesn't touch her, says, Allah, go home, you're divorced. They must have intercourse. So somebody says, you know, hand the business with my wife. So when you divorce her again, I will marry her again. Haram. Haram because Allah made it haram. But in terms of logic, would anyone accept this for his wife? I mean, this is sick, man. Khalas, it's over. Khalli walli. You know, you won't bring your friend to get involved in any of this stuff. A'udhu billah. Anyway, some people do this. But this is why, because they get divorced at the time of anger. Silly people, man. Especially some of the, without mentioning countries, everything is swelling by divorce. Alayhi al-talaq, upon me is divorce. If you drink some water, you di akhish. Let us drink some water, everything divorce. If you make a step, I will divorce you. If you sleep on the bed, I will divorce you. Everything is divorce. It's like the usual threat. But this is not acceptable in a Muslim. You don't put divorce in the, you know, this is the last thing that comes to mind. This is after everything else fails. But some people swear by divorce. And when they do so with that intention, if he tells her, I will divorce you if you drink water, and she drinks water, she's divorced. If he had that intention. So maybe in the English speaking people, this is not a common expression. Among the Arabs, it is. Particularly brothers from Egypt, for example, this is very common among the Egyptians. You see it in the movies and otherwise, right? I don't watch movies anymore, but this was back in Jahiliyyah. Every 3 words, alayya talaq, alayya talaq, and even, you know, in other countries, without mentioning more, no offense to any Egyptians over here. Are there any Egyptians over here? We're just saying about some of the common, you know, things among the Muslims. In every country we have our own, you know, little funny thing. But Egyptian people, mashallah, usually the practicing ones of them are upright and good and have sound knowledge and have a very good memory. By the way, find an Egyptian, you know, most of them, they be an English teacher, but he has the Quran memorized. And Bukhari, Muslim. And this is something very normal for them, like the way they're raised. So you know, Egypt is a good place usually to learn the deen, but don't go to Al-Azhar anymore.
To what?
Al-Azhar. That big famous Islamic university. Al-Azhar. Al-Azhar. Used to be good, now it's starting to, you know, go a little off track. Anyways. ثم قال تعالى ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف أي وللنساء على بعولتهن من الحقوق واللوازم مثل الذي عليهن لأزواجهن من الحقوق اللازمة والمستحبة. Women have rights over their husbands and equal to those which their husbands have over them in terms of the necessities and the recommendations or the recommended. ومرجع الحقوق بين الزوجين إلى المعروف. Very important. What is the criteria in these rights? How do we know the rights? عرف. What does عرف mean? عرف.
Customs.
What is customary among the people? If in some country it is part of the ma'ruf is that the woman massages her husband every night, okay, this is the way the culture works, then that becomes his right upon her, that he gets what everybody else gets. If they are in a country where the last thing a woman will ever do is massage her husband, then this is not his right anymore. So urf, because otherwise the cultures differ. The cultures differ in terms of their lifestyles. So depending on the community, now of course, as long as you're not going to haram, this is already known to everyone, we're not transgressing against any of Allah's limitations. This is speaking on the grounds that, or on the premises that, you know, the urf is within the lawful things, the things that are mubah. That which you have the right to do, or you have the right to leave alone. It's neither, you know, obligatory nor is it forbidden, and so on and so forth. وَفِي ذَلِكَ الْبَلَدْ وَذَلِكَ الزَّمَانِ مِنْ مِثْلِهَا لِمِثْلِهِ. So it is according to the customs of the people during a particular time in a particular country, from a woman like her to a man like him. I mean, also the level in the society in terms of whether they are among the rich or the medium or whatever, that also plays a role. He cannot expect from her what a rich woman may give to her rich husband, and so on and so forth. So we take into consideration the country, the time during this era, you know, what do the people do, and also their society, you know, their social standard or level or stage or whatever you would use for that one. What would you use? Their social what, Sa'id? Status? Okay, that sounds good. على كل حال والأحوال والأشخاص أيوة ويختلف ذلك باختلاف الأزمنة والأمكنة والأحوال والأشخاص والعوائد. And this differs according to the differing in the times and the places and the conditions or the circumstances and the individuals and what is common among the people. وفي هذا دليل على أن النفقة والكسوة والمعاشرة والمسكن وكذلك الوقت الكل يرجع إلى المعروف. In that is an evidence that the amount of money that is spent, right, and the clothing which is provided, and the nature of their companionship with one another, and the housing, the accommodation provided, and even sexual intercourse are all referred to customs, to the customs of the people. Whatever is the norm amongst the people, this is expected of her to him and expected of him to her. Very important. نعم. ويرجع إلى المعروف فهذا موجب العقد المطلق. وأما مع الشرط فعلى شرطهما إلا شرطا أحل حراما أو حرم حلالا. Now this is if the marriage contract is general. However, if there's a condition stipulated by either party, then they are both supposed to abide by these conditions. For instance, a woman may, don't tell this to your wives now, too late now, a woman may say to her husband, before he marries her, you cannot marry another woman. That's my condition, right? If he, silly man, agrees because he's dying to be with her, at that stage that he will not marry another woman, he can no longer marry another woman afterwards. Because he gave a condition, shart. And this shart did not make something haram, halal, nor did it make something halal, haram. This is lawful. If he doesn't get married in a certain way, is it haram? No. Is it an obligation to marry another one? No. So this is optional. If he accepted that condition, he can no longer go back. Unless she frees him from that. Unless he says, khalas, I forgive you. If she says no, then no. That's why the ulama, or you know, the people advise, brother man, slow down in the beginning. And don't teach this to the woman. Because every woman is going to put this as a condition in the beginning. No second wife with me. So try not to even mention the second wife, period, so this will not, you know, arise. And furthermore, if ever put in this predicament, don't accept this condition. Even though you're very much excited to get married to this lady, but later on you may feel differently and you may want a second wife and it will be too late for you. So these are conditions which may be stipulated by either party, and both المسلمون على شروطهم. The Muslims are abided by their conditions. If they promise that they will, you know, not do a particular thing, then they can no longer do it. Is that clear? As long as we're not making with this condition something halal, we're making it haram. Or something haram, we're making it halal. As long as we don't go to these two extremes. If we are in the area of that which is lawful, allowed, then any husband, for example, a man may tell his wife, from the get-go, I cannot share my time with you and my other wife, my first wife, due to my circumstances. I can come 2 days a week. You want? Hayakumullah. You don't want? Ma'asalama. She may say, fine. It's her right. Her right is to get 50-50. Right? Split them up. If she says, I'm fine with that, then this is fine. He has the right for that, and she can no longer complain afterwards, hey, you're only coming two days a week, I want you to come 3 days a week. Because from the beginning, I had a condition, you accepted this condition. Clear? Like, huh? وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. And men have a degree over them. Beautiful ayah. أي رفعة ورياسة وزيادة حق عليها كما قال تعالى الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. That level, عليكم السلام, that degree is in status, in authority, in an increase in rights over her. Yani, the husband has a degree over his wife. And Allah explained in another ayah, men are the caretakers and the protectors of the woman. Why? Because Allah has favored them over men, over women, and because they spend from their fulus. Who spends on the household? The husband. Is it possible that you're the one who spends and the woman's word is the ultimate one in the house? Yeah, imagine you bring the money. I mean, if we were to give women the upper hand, the degree over men, the man is the one who makes money. He comes over 2,000 riyals and the woman's word is the highest in the house. She says, go buy a couch. He has to do it. If the woman was given this title, he's making the money, naturally, who should be the decision maker? The man, right? So one of the reasons why Allah gave him that degree is because they are the ones spending. And when I make my money, I spend my money. Now, yes, there's no dictatorship in Islam, as many of us think or do, where we think that we are Hitler, you know, a'udhu billah, not in all the ultimate sense, but at least in the household. Where you know everything must be my way, and there's no consultation with the woman. Her opinion is ignored and disregarded. This is not right. The Prophet ﷺ used to refer to his wives, seek advice from them, consult them in the various matters. You know the story of Hudaybiyah, when Prophet ﷺ, when they went to do Umrah and they were prevented by the Quraysh in the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, and Prophet ﷺ told them, you know, slaughter your animals and shave your hairs. They didn't. Because, you know, they were full of it's just too many emotions that the Sahaba had. He went back inside and told Umm Salama, what did she say? She said, go back out, don't say a word. And he called his barber. As soon as his barber started shaving him, they started, they were about to fight, you know, trying to shave each other's heads. So here, who gave him the advice? This is the Messenger of Allah receiving wahi. His wife Umm Salama radiallahu anha advised him on this particular matter. And we have many examples of this nature. So a man is not a dictator, however, his word is the final word. Yani him and the wife may go back and forth discussing which school the child will go to. But the ultimate decision is the man's. You know, this is my decision, it's my fulus, Allah gave me this degree over you, you know, you better be happy with it. And but you know, of course, we don't, you know, ignore her. As I mentioned, if there is a dispute, then the man's opinion is the valid one. However, as in terms of being good and kind to our wives, then we should slow down and take it easy and take the opinion even if we're not going to accept it. You know, sometimes you know that you're going to get some silly opinion by the woman, but you also make her feel good, you know. So what do you think about this? Even though you already have a decision in your mind, in order to make her feel involved, right, that she had her 2 cents. Or 2 halalas in this country. Hey. ومنصب النبوة والقضاء والإمام الصغرى والكبرى وسائر الولايات مختص بالرجال. The status of prophethood and judge, being a judge, the one who judges among the people, and imama, the leader, الصغرى, as in the one who leads the people in the salah, الكبرى, the imam of the Muslims, أمير المؤمنين, الخليفة, whoever that is. And the rest of the authorities that have been granted in Islam, someone given authority or power over other people, or power of attorney if you want to call it, this is all for specific for the men. And the Prophet ﷺ had said that a nation which puts forth a woman as their leader shall not succeed. Shall not prevail. And people look at it in an ignorant way nowadays, where they say, well, you know, Elizabeth, whatever, you know, had led such and such country and life was good. We say, you're foolish. You're not understanding the objective of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are looking at it from a limited scope, right? This was during a period of time. The harm in the economy or otherwise may not become evident until maybe hundreds of years, where they say, woof. You know, we put this lady up in there, and had we had a man, then things would have been different. So it doesn't have to be something that we witness. You know, anytime a woman is running an organization and everything is going good, we say, oh, okay, the hadith must not be correct. As some of the, you know, rationalists do. In Islam, Muslims, who say, no, this cannot make sense. So in New York, a woman led people in salah. She gave a khutbah and led people in salah. Imagine this crazy people, man, and men and women were praying next to each other. Yani, excuse me. Imagine, you know, you wanted to fix your button and there was a woman next to you. Pow! What's going to happen to you in salah, man? Mother, you're going to be wrong. It's over. Salah is over. Any secretion will invalidate your wudu. Your salah is done. What kind of nonsense is this? Can you imagine a man praying next to a woman? A strange woman? If your wife was praying next to you, you can't even pray. You know what I'm saying? This is your wife. And it's like, because the shaitan is using anything to get you a little excited. So, you know, during salah, that doesn't work. That's why the sunnah is a woman stand, the wife behind the man. Not next to him as many people think. Right? On the first night of marriage. He's been waiting to get married for months. He's about to explode. Or he's going to pray next to his wife, you know, sunnah of, you know, the marriage. And he puts her next to him. What kind of khushu is he going to have in the salah? Now he's trying to finish the salah as soon as possible to get down to business. So the reality is, you know, you put her behind you so you won't be thinking about the lady. And when your salah is over, because some of the tabi'een and sahaba did that. You know, some of them say that it is recommended that when you get married, that you begin, you know, the first thing you do is that you lead her in salah. She prays behind you, you put your hand on your head and you make a particular dua. And then, you know, nobody needs to tell you what to do. So where were we? Hey. ولها وله ضعفا ما لها في كثير من الأمور كالميراث ونحوه. And he has double what the woman would have in many different things, such as inheritance. والله عزيز حكيم. And Allah is full of might, all wise. أي له العزة القاهرة والسلطان العظيم. To him belongs the irresistible power and the vast great authority. الذي دانت له جميع الأشياء ولكنه مع عزته حكيم في تصرفه. Which everything is subdued by. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. However, even though Allah is full of might, nothing is done or no action is taken by Allah except that wisdom is also there. Because one may be powerful without wisdom, and that will produce harm, right? Some of the, you know, if you look at something like Mike Tyson, how many times did he knock out, you know, people outside the boxing ring? You know, he'd be driving a car and the police officer would come and say, if you wasn't Mike Tyson, we'll just punch the next thing you hear. Mike Tyson is in jail. He punched this, you know, a civilian. He punched a police officer. He had power, which he was unable to contain. Power without wisdom may cause you more problems. You follow me? So it is important with power to be able to handle yourself. And this is among the creation to Allah belongs the best example. Allah is mighty in power. However, He's Hakim. Nothing is done with this power except that wisdom is there. So no one will be oppressed in the process. وَيَخْرُجُ مِنْ عُمُومِ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْحَوَامِلِ فَعِدَّتُهُنَّ وَضْعُ الْحَمْلِ. Excluded from this general meaning of the ayah are the pregnant women, where their waiting period ends with them delivering the child. وَالَّتِي لَمْ يَدْخُلْ بِهِنَّ فَلَيْسَ لَهُنَّ عِدَّةٌ. And if a man married a woman whom he never consummated the marriage with, never got to have a relation with her, then she has no iddah. Okay? So this iddah is conditional to what? Sexual intercourse. If you married a woman, right? And, you know, some people have what they call this arranged marriages kind of thing. He's never seen her. His mom chose her for him. You know, and the first night he sees her is in, you know, the night they're going to meet each other is the first night they're getting married. And, you know, when they close the door, he looks at her and says, what? This, you know, this is my wife? Man, forget about this. I don't want to marry this woman. You know, he may not like her. You don't want to be with a woman that you're not attracted to, right? Because it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You must have some sort of attraction. Now, the thing we look for is what? Religious commitment. We want a good sister at the end of the day. However, if she's a good sister but you're not attracted to her, you will not be able to give her her rights. And there will be oppression in the process. That's why the ulama say, I mean, you ultimately go for the deen and you look for someone who has beauty along with the deen. So you'll be able to, you know, lead a comfortable life. So in the case that he got shocked on his wedding night or wedding day or whatever you call it, and he decided not to continue with this marriage, he never touched her, no iddah for her. Okay? Because that is conditional to them consummating the marriage. والإماء فعدتهن حيضتان كما هو قول الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وسياق الآية يدل على أن المراد بها الحرة. And the slave women, their عدّة, their waiting period is two cycles, as the Sahaba had done per the statement of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, because the context of the ayah indicates that what is intended here is the free woman. and I think this will be sufficient for tonight, today, because the next ayah is also very fundamental, and alhamdulillah, Allah is blessing us with this opportunity to learn things that the vast majority of Muslims do not know. Believe it or not, this is like a mystery to most, because it's very technical concerning the relations between a man and his wife, marriage, and what is, you know, what branches off from that teaching. So inshallah, we want to try to contain this information and retain this information as much as possible, even if you have to write some notes down or ask some questions, you know, next time or whatever. But we want to try to memorize this information in case, you know, we were in this predicament, or people we know were in this predicament, we will at least be able to give them some guidance based on the tafsir alaykum salam of Shaykh Sa'di. وبهذا نختم جلستنا وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.